Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. I see site for details.
Despite the fact that he gave his word that he would be there alone, Roman Reigns did in fact have the backing of the Bloodline with him, minus The Rock. But it's okay, because Cody had his Avengers by his side. I've gone with Avengers as my reference point, but really I think a more apt one, a more current one would be to say, to me, my X-Men, is what he would have should have been saying. Anyway, so he called aside his X-Men because Jey Uso and Seth Rollins were there to have his back. But anyway, I am Luke Cohen, D-A-D. Well, and this is Sat E Niangi. Sat E Days is back once again like a renegade master. And welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of WWE SmackDown. Please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up as well. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of the episode. And if you are watching live, then join our wonderful community, join the chat, let us know what you thought of this show. And we are going to be kicking things off. So we have a bit of a running gag about, you know, how like wrestling seems to have only seen the movie Rocky and like everything yes. is just like referencing Rocky. It reminds Dan of that tweet of like that one guy who's seen Boss Baby, next movie he's ever seen. This has got real Boss Baby vibes to it. Enjoy this. He had his Boss Babies with him. So thank you very much for that. Good. That is chat of the day so far. Welcome to the show. Sat, welcome here on Saturdays. Thank you so much for giving up some of your time to have a chat with us about this show.
It's not giving up time. It's giving time to tremendous people out there. Sat E Day. We made it a thing as a community. People love Saturdays, you know, content. They love, you know, having me on, and they love having you on, Luke. And you said you likened it to X-Men. I likened it to West Side Story. You call the crew. You come out from the alley, switchblades in the hand. They're getting ready to dance and sing for Maria. I'm talking about Maria.
Could redo that Royal Rumble promo. Remember when they did the Royal Rumble promo, like West Side Story? There's going to be a Rumble tonight.
Tonight. And then TNA did their own version. I forgot, but it was Bargain Basement. TNA couldn't help themselves. They did their own version like a year or two later. Just what it was subpar. Someone in the chat knows what I'm talking about. Any TNA fans in the chat, you know, like they did their own version. It was subpar. Trust me. But X-Men 97. I haven't seen it yet. I want to rewatch the old X-Men series they used to watch when I was younger, so I refresh my memory, then watch the new one and enjoy it. Is it going to come back for another season? Because the creator of the recent series got fired. That's a conversation for another time me and Luke gonna have. But yes, SmackDown was good. Not a lot of people got jobber entrances for obvious reasons. And my goodness, Roman Reigns was not a man of his word. Luke, what's going on? He is a gentleman's agreement. I come to SmackDown. I gotta bring my crew. Don't bring your crew. Let's chat. What happened? Let's talk about it.
So, in this segment, obviously on Raw, Paul Heyman had said to Cody Rhodes, come alone. The tribal chief gives you his word. He will be the only person in the ring. I'll be there, but I'm not a threat. There'll be no Jimmy. There'll be no Solo. There'll be no final boss. It will just be Roman Reigns. All we ask is that you give your word that you will also come alone. And Cody said, sure thing. That sounds great. I will also come alone. And they both did. Roman Reigns came out, he was not flanked by Jimmy. He was not flanked by Solo, just Paul Heyman. And he reiterated, I have come alone. I am not here with anyone else. I'm just here for a face-to-face with Cody Rhodes. And he brings out Cody Rhodes. They actually gave this segment like 20 minutes. So I checked like how long was kind of left of the show. And there was 20 minutes left of the show. And I would say that it felt like this was an episode of SmackDown that had been reading what Kate from Fightful has been saying online about the show, because it was like, it was a wrestling heavy show, man. And I was all here for it.
Yeah.
We had one in-ring segment, and it was this one in-ring segment at the end here. So they came out and, you know, they again, hey, look, we're here. We're all here on our own. And really what this segment was here was designed for one reason. And I think it kind of was successful in that. Cody is a smart babyface. Roman's whole promo was, you're an idiot. I can't believe what a fool you are that you came alone. And you see, Cody, that's why you can't beat me and why you shouldn't beat me. Because I'm the number one guy in this promotion because I'm a smart guy. You're a dumb guy. You're a fool. And a dumb guy and a fool cannot lead this company. This company needs Roman Reigns. It needs its tribal chief. Who have you got as your backup? You've got Seth Rollins. I know Seth Rollins. I know a lot about Seth Rollins. And he turned his back on me. I thought he was like a brother to me, but he turned his back on me. He'll do the same thing to you. And Cody's responded back being like, well, what about The Rock? What about the final boss? Like, is who's really the number one guy around here? Is it really, is it the tribal chief or is it the final boss? And Roman responded being like, you've already tried this. You've literally had this promo against The Rock. You're just like, you're spinning this like a politician. You are never keeping your promises. And that is why you will be the number two. And I say that with respect. A lot of these people would love to be a number two, but you'll always be a number two. And that's why I will always be number one. And I thought Cody had a pretty good response to that, which was just that, you know, when we were growing up, we had our heroes. You know, there are always people for the next generation to look up to. Bruno, Flair, Hogan, Rock, Austin, Cena. I look at us and I know that my kids are going to grow up and want to be the next Roman Reigns. But that's why I've got to come for you. That's why I've got to beat you and I'm going to get that title. And beating you will mean that I won't be number two. I will be the one. And he offered out his hand for a handshake. Roman didn't take it. He was just mouthing off Cody. He stepped out of the ring and he basically clicked his fingers and out comes Jimmy, out comes Solo, and they're going to jump Cody in the ring. But Cody sort of looks at them and from out the crowd comes Jey Uso and Seth Rollins and the show ends and they play Cody's theme. What did you make of the segment?
Okay. Honestly, I feel like one person came out looking well, while the other guy was dusting off old sheets of papers where he just dissed people. And I feel like Cody has done well to redeem himself, because you have to learn from last year, right? He was by himself. He had no backup. Roman Reigns cheated to beat him. Is a topic that doesn't get mentioned often, because one of the gripes we have is everyone pretends that Roman Reigns has been this dominant champion for 1,300 days, 13,000 days, because, you know, he's been gallantly winning without any cheating, while the last year or so, Solo's been wearing that stinky hoodie every single time to help him win. I feel like last year's build-up was much better. It was much more personal. It was Paul Heyman trying to get into Cody Rhodes' head using his dad. You had a cocky Roman Reigns thinking, you know, I've beaten everyone, you know, before. But this time, I don't feel like it had the heat. I didn't feel like Roman delved deeply. All it is, insults. And I'm kind of like, I can do insults. You're stupid. He didn't go why. He didn't like break him down mentally. He just didn't try. It felt like it was just very pedestrian. So for me, the heat wasn't there like the way I wanted it to. It was just like a segment for the sake to, like someone said on Twitter or X, it was a segment just to design the video package. That they both been in the ring at the same time. They both had a stare off. And also, the only interesting thing was the handshake for me, because I swear last year when Cody went for the handshake, or Roman did shake his hands last year, right? They did have a handshake. It was amicable last year, right? Chat, remind me, did Roman shake Cody's hand last year? Because if that is true, it goes to show you that Roman Reigns is so cocky, that he basically not taking this seriously, basically. That's what I took away from the segment. But more could have been done, but I understand. He's meant to be cocky and arrogant. Like, I beat this guy before. I've got the same, you know, game plan. I'm going to try that again. But only this time, Cody's smarter.
That's it, yeah. Like, as I was saying, I think this segment was designed for one purpose, really, which was to show that... yeah, I mean, people in the chat are saying that, yeah, they did shake hands before WrestleMania last year. So well remembered.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was designed to say that Cody is not a dumb babyface. Cody, like, because this whole segment was, Roman's, you're too dumb to lead this company. You're an idiot. You're a fool. And because you're a dumb fool, you cannot lead this company. But what the segment at the end showed was Cody isn't dumb. He's not a fool, which means he can lead this company. Like, he almost, Roman's whole argument fell apart because Cody had proven him wrong. So that's what the segment's there to do. But I would say, I think this segment needed more than that. We on SmackDown, like for the last 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it's been the show of the big 40-minute in-ring segments with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
And they have been like the most talked about segments within all of wrestling. Now, people have been really digging this Bloodline stuff, particularly since The Rock has turned heel and he's become the final boss. People are digging these segments. If ever there was a show, if ever there was an episode of SmackDown that needed the opening 40-minute in-ring segment, it's the one where Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes go face-to-face, because that is the main event of WrestleMania. That's what we all should be building towards. That's what we should all be getting hyped about. And I don't know if this really did get people hyped for WrestleMania. And I've been the guy that's been sort of defending the argument that Roman feels secondary in this feud because it feels more about Cody Rhodes versus The Rock. I've been the guy defending that, being like, I think that's by design. I think they're pushing Roman to the side because that's going to fuel Roman's character against the final boss for trying to steal his spotlight. And yet I watched this segment, and at the end of it, I'm like, no, yeah, it does feel like all the heat's for Cody and Rock, and it's not for Cody and Roman. So I kind of, while I thought it was a good segment overall, and I think it achieved what it set out to do, I think this segment needed a little bit more than just having six dudes stare at each other at the end.
It felt like putting your food in the microwave for 30 seconds and it's heated for 2 seconds and it's cold again. I think Roman should have talked up the whole tribal rule situation. I think they haven't done enough, because even like someone said, that is the tag team match made official? Because we haven't really seen we've only seen like the video package of them all standing facing each other, but nothing's been officially like. Have they been officially added yet?
Oh, no, it has. Yeah, it's been officially. Yeah, it's officially. It's got a match graphic and everything. Yeah.
It has.
It's got a match graphic. Well, I guess
when they show the graphics, I'm probably looking down on my phone. But yeah, I feel like Roman should have talked some more about what the tribal rules match is. Hype it up. What's going to happen? How he's going to dismantle him? He should have done more to get into his head. And I feel like he didn't do enough. He should have said, you've lost. I feel like he should have, like, trying to. At the moment, Cody's got his poker face where he doesn't have the insecurity to lose again. It's kind of like, okay, I had enough of this Bloodline stuff. I have to stand up to them. I have to win. It should have been Roman's job, like saying, I always win. I always find a way to win. It's just that I feel like these segments have made Roman look a bit stupid. Even the whole Jey Uso and Seth being there. He's almost like a James Bond villain. We knew it. We saw the writing. We knew it was coming. Because even in this segment, when Cody goes, because you mentioned it. Roman goes, oh, you're stupid, or I'm a man of my words, I didn't bring anyone. Did you bring anyone? Cody goes, I'm as much a man of my words as you are, saying as in, if you bring no one here, I don't have no one here. You bring people here, I bring people here. So it's like the verbiage, certain things he didn't look out for, and we can see the little nuggets that's dropped in the segment. I feel like Cody's playing it well, but I guess at the same time, I have to remember it's Roman as the heel playing the part of a guy that's so deluded that he doesn't see his cousin conspiring, you know, the final boss. He doesn't see that Cody, he's had enough, and then he realized what the game plan is going to be. And then the fact that probably Solo Sikoa's hoodie he's washing, because now you can smell him, you know, a mile away now when he's coming to the ring. Oh no, Solo's coming. Gotta stop him before he stabs me in the throat. But yeah, I feel like they should do more with Roman, because at the moment, like you said, he's just, it's very pedestrian, it's very lackluster, it's very neutral. No urgency.
Pedestrian's a good word, I think, to describe this segment, because that is not to say that it was a bad segment. Like, I just saw someone there in the chat say that it was trash. I didn't think it was a trash segment because I thought Roman's promo's great. Like, I think Cody's always great in his promo, even when he hasn't got particularly new material to deliver. And sure, the six lads standing at the end was a kind of an awkward end to the show, but I don't think it was a trash segment. But it was pedestrian. It was a little bit paint by numbers. And yeah, I suppose the within the sort of Roman heelness of it all, he had convinced himself, probably Paul Heyman had convinced him as well, Cody will come alone. Our plan will go off without a hitch. There's no way that Cody will bring people because he's a dumb babyface. And Cody proved at the end of this, I'm not a dumb babyface. And what I kind of needed from this segment was the Cody we had on Monday, because that Cody was great. That Cody, though, that Bullet Club Cody, that Indies ROH New Japan Cody, that's the Cody that we needed in this segment here. But what we had was 2 weeks ago Cody, which is just like, hey, I'm a nice guy and I've outsmarted the heels here.
You know what? I think you brought up a great point, because I was thinking that. I was thinking what lacked was the Cody Rhodes passion on the promo. You know, when Cody Rhodes passionate doing a promo, you know the segment's going to be great. And the fact that you had a subdued Cody Rhodes, that's worrying, because that is the WWE Cody Rhodes, the shaking hands, kissing babies. And it's almost like what happened on Monday didn't happen. I think that's also the issue as well. Sometimes I feel like what happens on Raw, what happens on SmackDown is kind of disjointed, even if it's meant to be in the same universe. If you get Cody with that urgency, then it comes to SmackDown and he's like, drop some truth bombs on Roman. Is it in Roman's contract that you're not allowed to be honest, that he's never around, you know, he wears the same gear all the time, because he does. Come on, Roman, the main event. Change colors. He changes gloves. Yay. You know, he's got a gold glove. He's got a red glove. He's got a black glove.
I'm all about Roman keeping that gear.
Really? No,
maybe it's only just because his 2015 run, like his 2015 gear sucked. Like what he had from like 2014, 2015 onwards is crap gear. Like, he looked rubbish. He looked like an action figure, but he looked rubbish. Like a crap boss man is what he looked like. So at least
crap
now,
boss man,
he doesn't look like a crap boss man anymore.
You know what? I'm with you. Even though I used to be a traditionalist when it comes to wrestling gear, but at least with his old gear, the logos changed on the vest. At least you knew it was different. With the trousers, I can't tell. Maybe he's got 100 pair of the same black pants, but at least have the logo on it. Something, come on, Rom. All that money he's making, you're saying he can't get, you know, designs in his gear. That's the only thing I'm going to hate about this, because the run is in his twilight. We're in the twilight of Roman Reigns' run. I've given up on him changing his gear. But it's a shame. Change up the belt buckle color. The belt maybe needs, you know what I'm saying? He could have done more. Standard black pants like Steve Blackman. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. But yes.
He's a brand new lethal weapon. He's gone from being a crap boss man to an excellent lethal weapon.
To be honest, it's more Moxley. I have beef with Moxley's outfit. He looks more like Blackman sometimes. But yeah, to get that too, straight too much from the conversational piece. But I feel like Roman can do more. It's obviously he's checked out. He's been champion for nearly 4 years. Kind of like, I didn't ask to be champion for this long, but yeah, sure, I'm champion. He's like, it's obvious. He needed that urgency. He hasn't been dangerous in a while. That's the sad thing. Once upon a time, yeah, Roman Reigns was dangerous. Him getting mad meant something horrible was going to happen. But now it's kind of like, I think because the whole Jimmy Uso situation, he kind of lost the luster of like, if you do something bad to the tribal chief, he's going to hit harder. He hasn't really done that. It's a bit, I don't know. There's so many things I want to go into the character, but I don't want to distract from what we're talking about. It's just that they should have done more. Cody should have hit him harder. That's what I'm feeling. Like, I feel like he's pulling his jabs. It was obviously he's pulling his jabs, and I don't know if they're saving it for Monday because The Rock's appearing on Monday. I don't know if Roman Reigns is going to unannounced. Then we're going to get this, you know, because we're getting closer. It's less than 16 days now. Come on. We're getting closer to the actual thing. So I don't know, man. Maybe he's saving it for Monday. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks Monday, because it's not this Monday coming. This Monday coming it's the week after that. It's the go home show that The Rock is on. But I was about to say, I was to agree with you. I wonder if they're saving a lot of the big material for that go home show, which you should do. Like, you should always save your best material for the go home show. But that then by definition means that this segment has to be lesser than, which I think is a shame, because like this is the same we should be the one that's pumped about, because this is the main event of WrestleMania. This is Cody Roman Roman 2. This is supposed to be our big shining star for this year. And yeah, I felt the segment needed more, but I'm curious to know what the chat feels like. If Mod Mother, if you can hear me, I want to, let's have a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle poll. Let's just see. What do people think of this? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. I was kind of, or should we just do it as binary choice? Just do it as a thumbs up, thumbs down. No, we'll have the three. We'll have the three. Let's have a mid option in there. So thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Just to let us know what you thought of this segment. So we'll have the results of that later. So I suppose the question I have to get before we get into the Ultra Chats is, do you think we are now leaning ever closer to the possibility that the main event of WrestleMania Night 2 is going to be this massive Avengers Assemble moment where it is going to be all the wrongs of Roman's past coming to face him, whether that is Seth and Jay and I don't know who else could be there, Cena. Like, you know, there's talks of like Cena, Austin and Undertaker are going to be involved in WrestleMania this year. Is it going to be this mad, overbooked, complete schmoz that is just designed for pop after pop after pop after pop, and it ends with Cody with the belt above his head? What do you think?
I want it. I want the Lex Luger the Bret Hart WrestleMania 10 moment when you had Macho Man, the Steiner brothers, and I forgot who else, Tatanka, lifting him up over the shoulder. I want it to be Austin, if Austin is in his contract to lift up another wrestler. I don't know, but I want the coronation of this new era of WWE we're in. As much Roman Reigns did save wrestling during the pandemic. WWE wrestling. So I don't want to say he saved AEW, connected it. People, you know, they always misconstrue words. He saved WWE wrestling during the pandemic. We had Braun Strowman facing The Miz and John Morrison. That's what the main event scene was. He saved us from that. So thank you, Roman Reigns, for your hard work, for coming back, you know, from risking what could have been potentially dangerous situation with leukemia and so forth. He came back better than ever, finally realized his full potential, but he's now past the expiration date and it's time for him. At the time they had excuse, they've dropped out every main event credible wrestler to him. They had no one. Then Cody came along. Cody's the man there to take the ball and run with it. He's there all the time. He's there for all the house shows. He's there for every other shows you need. So just give him the title. I just feel like Roman Reigns is the last vestige of the pandemic that we need to end. Because the pandemic, he's a reminder. It's kind of like, what's the constant? It's a reminder. Roman Reigns is champion. He's had good bits as champion, but I do feel like it's time for Cody to win it. And also, I hope that Cody has his Stone Cold WrestleMania 17 moment when he goes, I have to be champion. I have to beat you. They need that heat. It wasn't there. And I feel like it's there. Like you said, Cody is such a good promo. He's good with words that even if you say nothing, it still sounds good. Unfortunately, Roman Reigns is not that gifted when it comes to his verbiage. He has put downs. He could have been put downs. He's like, come on, come on, Luke. You call yourself the pod father. I'm the pod father around here. That's what he does. He does intimidation. He's good at doing like one-liners and intimidation. Yeah, yeah. But when it comes to overall keeping you hooked, you can tell when he switched off. While Cody could be switched off, but Cody talks a good game. Hey, it's like another good, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's another advert for Prime. You probably say, I had an energy drink when I was 12. I always wanted a Prime. You know what I'm saying? Cody does that. While Roman will be like, yeah, it's Prime. You know what I'm saying? It's the champ. It's like me. Yeah, so yeah, I feel like Roman Reigns needs to, it's lacking that. I'm punching my fist because it's...
I think the Rock has given the injection into this Bloodline storyline that it needed, because I think it has fallen off since SummerSlam last year. I think SummerSlam really was like, it was at the peak, and I think it has been all downhill since then. But I think the Rock has injected some into it. So I'm not on the Roman is stale train. I'm not there yet, but he's also, it's like, he's still the biggest draw they have outside of Cody. Like, he is still, like, you put Roman Reigns on a poster, people are paying them tickets, paying money to get them tickets. So I don't know if I'm buying into this Roman is stale, or is like the last vestige of the pandemic. Not sure if I fully buy into that, but I'm still there for it. However, I do think that this Mania is going to end with the massive schmoz. And I gave my prediction for this on, I think it might have been on Monday or the Tuesday review for Raw. I might have done it on a different show. I think Triple H hits a pedigree. I think Triple H is one of the guys. And Because you, we all forgotten that bit at the press conference when The Rock was mouthing off against Triple H. I'm your boss. You need to sort this out or we will. If Triple H can do it, I know he's got his heart issues. I know he can't wrestle anymore. But if he can go out there, if he can get medically cleared to just do one move, go out there and hit a pedigree on The Rock.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Triple H yet do a pedigree. I'm sorry for him to do touch a little ticker, like hook in two arms. I think the pop will get too much for him. He'll get so excited. No, Triple H, you know, stay backstage with your headset. Cool the show. This has potential to be the best WrestleMania. Last year could have been. I just hate the main event. Luke, you don't know. I think I mentioned it before. I've never seen Cody versus Roman. I watched the entrances and I paused there. I've never gone back. As far as I'm concerned, it's to wait for him to come back to start a match.
I've not watched it back. It's a good match. I've never watched it. It's been a really good match, but I haven't watched it back.
I've never watched it. I've never watched it. It was too painful.
Oh, man.
No, it was too painful. It's because I would, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would have bet my house. I would have bet my child's future on Cody winning last year. And I would have lost hard. It would have hit hard. I don't drink alcohol. I'll probably start drinking alcohol. It was so bad because it was like, it was a natural conclusion to the storyline. They could have had Rock vs. Roman this year because they made it so complicated. Like you said, it was like season 3 of Succession. It's like, you're just stretching it out, and then the final few episodes, you hook me back in. That's what Succession did. Season 3 was a bit of a chore. So final few episodes, hook me back in, and season 4 was incredible. Season 3, guys, of Succession, if you haven't watched it, is a bit slow. So, yes.
I mean, contrary to that, season 3 was when I really got into the show.
Really?
Like, season 1 and 2, I thought, yeah, this is a pretty fine little show here. Season 3 here, and I was like, man, I'm in. Season 3 is the one that really got me into it.
They dragged it on. They dragged the whole Kendall situation and then when they like about to do the spoilers, you know, when everyone got spoiled, you know, when the whole TKO situation happened, I was like, ooh, that's when I'm back in. Come on, the last year he threw a party for himself. Again, I'm side tapping here. I'm just doing
good.
Succession, guys.
Succession talk.
Because Roman Reigns' theme is Succession theme. So anyway, yeah.
My point more on the Triple H thing is, like I said, if he can get medically cleared, he can do a pedigree. If not, go out there and hit someone with a chair or something.
Fine, give him a sledgehammer. Give him a sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer shot, perfect. You know, you'd like what Hogan Nash and Hall did at WrestleMania 31, where it's like, we're not going there to actually take bumps and stuff, but we'll go out there and we'll just like, you know, throw some chairs and whatnot with DX. Because you know the NWO. Always having Sting's back. That was a big part of WCW, wasn't it?
That's another reason why I don't want Triple H to come out. I'm sorry. Sad moment in my heart. Sting, anyway, you know what? Another podcast. You hear all my musings about wrestling stuff of the past. But for the people that complained last week that we took too long getting to the review, we're going to get to the review. Look what happened in the first match.
Well, we've got to get through we've got to do some Ultra Chats first. Oh, Let's hear what you thought on this segment. Wrestler.com/support. Let us know what you thought of this.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ben Blurick is going to kick things off here to say, remember the first team that beat the Shield? Yes, Cody, I do. It was Team Hell No and Randy Orton on the June 14th, 2013 episode of SmackDown. Rollins got caught with a mid-air RKO and tapped to Bryan. How about you remember the story before you finish it? So that was in reference to Roman was talking about how big the Shield were, and Cody said, hey, I remember that first team that beat the Shield, and their last name was Rhodes. So, I mean, it turns out they actually had lost prior to that. But, you know, it was a nice line.
Semantics, guys. Who did Seth and Roman, undefeated tag team champions at the time, lose to for the first time? Rhodes. So he wasn't lying in that regard. He didn't say, who did we beat in the trios match? His dad couldn't wrestle, so he didn't do trios match. Who did they beat in a tag team match? Who did Roman Reigns experience loss as part of a tag team championship? Who did they lose the belt to? Was Rhodes. They lost twice.
The Rhodes brothers.
The Rhodes brothers beat him twice. They got their jobs back and they won the tag titles from them.
Look, Obi-Wan'd it. What I said was true from a certain point of view. Just completely Obi-Wan'd it. It's fine. Also, actually, I didn't mention earlier, I quite liked Cody Rhodes making a slight Bullet Club reference within there as well about how he knows a lot about factions and bullets and shields and all this sort of stuff. I mean, didn't get over with the crowd, but you know, I appreciate the reference.
I know. I was shocked. No, not shocked, but I was going to say
shocked.
And I wasn't. I realized what crowd it was. I was kind of like, I did the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, thing when he said I was like, faction, bullet cufflings, whatever that is.
Anyway, Ben continues here. Kidding aside, need main events of Night 2 to be Bloodline Rules. All out insanity. Overbook it to the max. Pharaoh will bite the Rock's nuts. Roman will throw actual spears. Rikishi will dive over someone. Green Arrow with bows and arrows. MJF with a towel. Dustin Rhodes in honor of Dusty will come in with the most powerful weapon of all. A bathicle. And for once, it needs to be overbooked. It should truly be the end game. Hell, have Reigns say, I'm inevitable, and Cody say, I am the American Nightmare or something. I want so, so badly for Dustin to be part of this. I really, really want Dustin to be part of this.
I don't care about Dustin Rhodes. I used to like Dustin Rhodes. I'm sorry, you know, because wrestle talk for prosperity, I ain't going to say a lot of things. He's not a nice guy. He just turned out to be a nice guy. So nice people don't deserve nice things. I'm sorry. He had a great match in AEW, one of the best match ever. He's there. He can stay there. We don't need him. He's got a new brother now. His name is Rollins. Seth Rollins. Seth freaking Rollins. Freaking, he's freaking. Yeah, so he doesn't need him. He's got a new brother now. No, he's got a new Us. Jey Uso. He doesn't need him. Don't need him, Oos.
Sky Shadowrun here said, while I thought the promos was meh, especially compared to Cody's on Monday, I really did feel like a childlike excitement when Jay and Seth came out. The slight playing of the Shield's theme, I hope not just a production issue, felt like a movie teaser. I think one of the bigger things... Go on, you go.
No, sorry. I'm a theme song mark, as they say. I love theme songs. Roman's got an exit theme, and that exit theme leans more into the Shield part, because his Tribal Chief theme does sample the Shield theme. So the dun-dun-dun-dun, that's like his exit theme. He's got two themes. I don't know if you hear it when he comes out, when he exits. Unlike Street Profits, who had two themes on the show, we'll talk about it later. But yes, that was his exit theme.
You say that it samples the Shield theme, but we all know that it's sampling Taz's theme.
Well, the Shield theme does slow down version. Yeah. But also, did you know the Shield theme initially was meant to be Big Show's theme in 2002? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, now you know. It was. Because if you hear the Shield theme, it does sound very 2002-ish, if you ever realize. It's very Jim Johnston. You can tell what era Jim Johnston you're listening to. Talk to me. I'm that guy. I'll tell you more. But yeah, it was meant to be Big Show's theme. They never changed it. They kept, well, it's the Big Show. But Big Show was meant to have the Shield theme back in 2002. That's how old the song is. Boom.
Well, there you go. The more you know, every day's a school day. It's like This Fire Burns was originally supposed to be for Randy Orton before he...
It was for one show.
He used it. Yeah. He used it for one show. He came out to This Fire Burns. Before they were like, I don't want to give that to Punk.
No, he wanted to keep it. But Redacted Boss Fellow, we don't talk about anymore, was like, what is that crap? It doesn't suit you. No,
exactly.
So you had to, you
know, that's crap. Yeah, give it to the scrawny kid that we don't like.
Yeah, makes sense. And it fit in it, the scrawny kid, the scrawny.
Jonathan Hedford has been a member for 31 months in a row. Said lots of good stuff last night. You're right, Luke. Cody is Cyclops. Also, technically, none of the extra bloodline entered the ring. That is a true point as well. I should say, I know we're going already long on this, but I've seen the first two episodes of X-Men 97, I think it's great, man. It's like fully past the vibe check. I think it's like the animation takes a little while, so like the uncanny X-Men Valley is a little bit sort of a bit odd at times. But man, I'm really enjoying the show. Problem is, it's too woke. That's the problem with it. Like, I can't believe they've made my X-Men go woke. What's next? Star Wars? They're going to make Star Wars woke? Are they going to make Star Trek woke next? I preferred it when these things weren't woke. It's like when Rage Against the Machine went woke.
It's awkward when people that comment like, it's like, man, you don't really know X-Men if that you think that's woke. Man, I have to break it down to you. Well, certain characters were molded after certain figures, you know what I'm saying?
You might want to look at a bit of history there, son. Caleb Cameron here said, an insane, silly, overbooked spot fest is exactly what I want for the end of Roman's reign. Cody and Seth lose night one, but Cody takes advantage of bloodline rules and has the backup, and the whole show ends with a million finishes and three crossroads cinema. I'm on board for that, man. I'm absolutely on board. I want Bloodline Rules to be Dude Love versus Steve Austin, where you've got Redacted Boss as the special guest referee, and you've got Pat Patterson. What a rib to have Pat Patterson as the ring announcer, considering that English is not his first language, and Gerald Briscoe as the timekeeper. Like, that is what I want for Bloodline Rules. I want everyone out there with super silly spots and everything.
I can see Dave Meltzer throwing a fit over how this match was an overbooked schmarz. To be honest, give me Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, 97 Survivor Series. That was a good match up to a point.
To a point. Let's talk about the rest of this show. And it, you know, we kind of said this at the top of the hour, but it did feel like this was a show that was a response to Kate from Fightful and the like of just being like, oh, you want some wrestling on the show, do you? Well, here's an hour and 40 minutes of wrestling with some small backstage segments. This is what, people took me to task on Monday because I was like, am I wrong here for wanting wrestling on my wrestling show? People are like, oh, wrestling doesn't draw. It's like, well, I'd quite like some wrestling on my wrestling show. I'd like more than an hour's worth of wrestling on a 3-hour broadcast. This show, I thought, had the right balance. I thought it had a good amount of wrestling, a good amount of backstage segments, and one big in-ring segment at the end of it. I thought this was actually a really well-balanced episode of SmackDown, which we have not had for quite some time, like certainly a few weeks now.
I think, first of all, I'm shocked that you had people had the gall to say to you, wrestling doesn't draw. Go watch a soap opera. There's no wrestling there at all. Just all talking scenes and no fighting occasionally, but there's no wrestling on there. Watch soap opera, as Sheamus said. I love my wrestling. I think the format they had for the show was really good, to the point where you saw Nick Aldis, but he didn't speak. It was legit. Like, you got bam, 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 bam. Hit home all the points, all the extra Easter eggs you're going to need for the next few weeks, mm-hmm. and then go straight to the point, which is wrestling. To the point where Io Sky, when we get to it, she should have heard a full song and it started all over again. That's how you knew The Rock wasn't in, because Io Sky's theme song played for the whole duration and it started all over again. We'll talk about that later. Yes.
I was going to say, you can tell The Rock wasn't it. The tag team's got entrances. But our opening contest was Rey Mysterio taking on Santos Escobar, which got a little mini video package. You and I theorized last week that maybe this will have a schmoz finish to it, because we thought this might have been a WrestleMania match. And it looks like we now got a bit of a direction for where we are heading towards WrestleMania, if we're getting big faction warfare type stuff. This was really good, really, really good match they were having. I enjoyed towards the end, Ray doing that seated senton, like from the desk into the timekeeper's area. Mm. And as he was rolling him back into the ring, hit the 619, set up to drop that dime, and Dominic Mysterio tripped him, caused a distraction. Santos hit the Phantom Driver and got the win. Seemingly out of nowhere, Dominic Mysterio is back in Rey's business. Are you excited for this?
It makes sense, because the whole time I was thinking, I was counting up the numbers. Dragon lead LWO, Legado de Fantasma. LWO's got more people on the team. Dominic fixes the issue by adding Dominic being an honorary loaned by Rhea Ripley from the Judgment Day to United. That's that side I can explain on Raw, possibly. Yeah, yeah. Loaning him to LDF, and you got yourself probably an eight-man tag match. You know, you got a eight-person tag match, or possibly add women. You got a mix 10-person heck, you know, add women there. You know, let Zelina have a WrestleMania moment. You know, Electro Lopez get to shine. So I am happy that Dominic has direction. Everyone feared that Dominic will probably do Andre, you know, the Giant Memorial Battle. We'll probably win it, because he'll probably be the big star on it if he did do it. But this is even better. I'm actually happy. I don't mind the fact that they've quote-unquote shoehorned him in. Is that saying the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
I think as well this kind of sets up some stuff for post-WrestleMania as well. Like, we've got the Andrade stuff over on Raw of him, like, maybe trying to get in with Judgment Day, or is it just a way to lure Dominic away from Judgment Day and start his own faction? Like, I feel that's the story they're telling you, is that he's looking to get into the group. But I think the real meat of it is he's looking to get Dominic out of the group. I don't think the Judgment Day are going to be with us much longer post-WrestleMania, and I can see Andrade setting up his own little mini faction of luchadors.
Yes, I agree. There is another wrestler on NXT whose name I'm blanking on. He'll be good on it. He's got a name. Oh crap! He's been on WWE TV as an enhancement talent, but I'm gonna think about it later. Yeah, he's wrestled. He's got a obvious stock Hispanic name that he's on NXT. But once I think of him, he could be another member. But yeah, I'm down with Judgment Day breaking up. It's a shame, because Damian Priest could fit into that new group, but at the same time, he needs to cash in whenever he wants to cash in.
I wonder if it's, I mean, I've been sort of thinking this idea is going to be at WrestleMania, like cashing in immediately on Drew, take away Drew's moment from him again, which I think is kind of nice.
They'll make him a baby face.
I wonder if you save that for the Raw after Mania. Like, that's your big Raw after Mania moment, as you do the cash in, because Damian Priest has got to do something with that briefcase at some point soon.
Javier Bernal. That's the name of the wrestler I was thinking of. His name's Javier Bernal.
There you go, everyone. So I enjoyed this a lot. I'm glad to see Dom getting it. Because I thought Dom was just going to be, a foil within the ladder match. Like, he'll just be thrown into various ladders and he can just bump around. And I think Dom deserves more than that.
Yeah, that's JD's job.
We had Bayley backstage thanking Naomi for having her back last week, and Bianca Belair walks up, to be like, oh, what's it like being beaten down by damage control? Oh, I would know that because it happened to me a lot back in 2020, 2021, 2022. I did nothing but get beaten up by damage control. So yeah, what you're getting is just, it's the consequences of your own actions. I thought it was good from Bianca Belair, but like her and Naomi then also had a chat separately to Bayley, where Naomi pointed out, look, they're picking us off one by one. So I think we kind of actually need to form an alliance here to take down damage control. We'll get more on that in a bit later. Because up first, in a WrestleMania qualifier, we had Austin Theory and Grayson Waller taking on the OC. This match was... The OC dominated. We got like G1 Carl Anderson in this one. It was like, oh, where did this Carl Anderson turn up from? It was like, oh yeah, by the way, I can do this wrestling thing. And he just came out and he was awesome throughout this match. They dominated. And then Theory got a roll up and he put his feet on the ropes and Grayson Waller held down the feet and Theory and Waller got the win. So they have qualified for the qualifier for next week.
The TQs is making me laugh. It's funny that you said that. I have to put on my notes. Carl Anderson hits the G1 Classic neckbreaker, that second rope neckbreaker that he's done in the G1 Classic. Yeah, this is the best that the Good Brothers have looked on the main roster since they come back. They actually come to work. And it goes to show you they're not washed, because that was kind of the thing, like, oh, they're washed, they don't have what it takes anymore. No, Carl Anderson's kind of like, hey, if you push me, this is the level of wrestling you're going to get from me. If you don't push me, I'm going to chill a catering and just collect some money. So mm-hmm. I was kind of like hopeful. A part of me is thinking that the only way to change the Good Brothers from being jobbers to the stars is legit pairing them back with AJ. Like, I could potentially see AJ beating LA Knight at WrestleMania with the help of the Good Brothers, just to, you know, or a debut in Tama Tonga to help him out, just to rejuvenate a new OC with Tama Tonga, making him more aggressive, because AJ's stacked. He's looking to have that one last run. I think that's the whole presentation of him getting bigger, and we can talk about him later. But yeah, the Good Brothers, I was happy because I was thinking they were washed, but they're not washed. They're just biding their time.
Yeah,
and Austin Theory. And Austin Theory got a new theme. I don't know if you noticed. They got, you know, I have a theme song mark as I mentioned it. I like it because people are saying, "Oh, it's Death Rebel. They made a rubbish song even more rubbish." It's for me, it's more groovier than the last theme, and at least it sounds less like the DIY theme, because the DIY theme sounds like the old Austin Theory's song. So it was a custody battle. Austin Theory lost the custody. He had to change his theme. So yes, sorry for cutting you off.
That's quite all right. I did not notice. I have found myself tuning out for WWE entrance music these days. Like, it all sounds the same to me. You know that episode of South Park when there was like, when you hit a certain age and all of a sudden everything just sounds like fart noises? It's like, that's what WWE themes sound to me now. It's just like every theme is just various shades of fart noises.
Fart noises. You know what? That sounds more interesting than incidental music. It sounds like video game incidental music, especially when we get to AOP part. It's just very much just lacks urgency. Everything lacks urgency. I hope they change it in time.
Well, speaking of urgency, they had a video package for Bron Breakker putting over just how much of a beast this man is, and like how fast he runs off the ropes and how like his vertical leap. This dude is rad. And this was an awesome video package for him.
Do you feel like after seeing that video package, it's like, can we just put him on Raw and he can just become world champion this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. SmackDown did not need both Jade and Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker.
You needed one or the other. I need Bron Breakker on Raw, man.
Mm-hmm. I saw the segment and I was like, yeah, this is what we need more of putting over your new talent. I felt like this version of NXT has done well with the wrestlers coming onto the main roster.
Honestly, actually, Bron Breakker is like, him and Hayes, I would say, are like the two shining stars of 2.0. Like, when 2.0, I was like, man, this thing is awful. Like, this ain't black and gold. This 2.0 thing sucks. But Bron Breakker stood out from that, man. Like, I think him and Hayes have like really come out of that 2.0 era smelling of roses. Bron Breakker in particular.
I know some people think I may be a sicko, or maybe I'm biased because I reviewed it. I was down with the change because black and gold towards the end was a chore, especially, I think, mostly the pandemic stuff. But it did jump over the shark. People, you know, clowning on the Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole feud. So just let's not forget Let's not remember the good times. Let's remember when they got bad. Remember when the NXT Black and Gold, before they changed, they had a new logo with a skull and a bat and stuff. And people were like, oh, this is too dark metal. People were actually pooing on the logo. So let's not go there. I was happy when they changed it. Again, another show to do a criteria rating of all the wrestlers from NXT 2.0 and who fell off. At the top of it is X Young Quinn. There's a little joke I did on the show. I know how to say his name. X Young Quinn.
We had a clip from Roman on Pat McAfee's podcast. The highlights of that was the line that they did highlight. I didn't need Hollywood. Hollywood came looking for me. Oh, now.
Luke, you play Luke. Hype up the 2K series you've been doing. Isn't Roman in Hollywood in that 2K?
Look.
Yeah, in that My Rise?
I haven't played the My Rise mode. I'm a My GM guy.
Oh.
But I thought it was an interesting line, City Against the Rock and everything like that. So I dig that. Although I will say, Roman, you were in one movie and you got that movie because of The Rock. So, like, let's pump the brakes a little bit that Hollywood came looking for you, shall we?
Nepo baby. He is a Nepo baby. That's what he is. But it's a cool line. He's a heel. He's meant to believe it. Exactly. So go on, Roman. You're doing your role really well. We believe you. Yes. Hollywood came to you.
Up next, in a very corking little match, Naomi took on Io Sky, and Damage Control came out just looking awesome, as they always do. And they were playing Io Sky's music for ages, but Sky did not come out. And they went backstage, and Sky and Bayley were brawling backstage, and Sky laid her out, which means that there was going to be no Bayley to be backup for Naomi in this match. And man, they had some great action within this. I thought the Sky looked awesome. I thought Naomi looked awesome. I really, really liked this match. And then Damage Control came out to cause a distraction, and we got an over the moonsault for the win.
Again, Naomi just reminded people again why she should be pushed higher than she is right now. But I get at the moment, it's WrestleMania season. They have the people they want to push. She's there just to add depth to the roster and also to make Io Sky looked great, but at the same time, this show made me excited for what direction she could be taking for WrestleMania. But yeah, the match was great. I hope we get a pay-per-view or PLE match between them two so they can go even longer. And they're similar, like Corey Graves said, they're two technical high flyers. They can go well on the mat and they can go, to the top rope as well. So I really enjoyed the match, because I was getting worried that we were having like a few minutes women's match where Naomi's losing after a few minutes, but this was the way they'd done the match, it didn't bury her. It made sense that she was going to put her away, but Damage Control came out to interfere, and then EO wins with the over the moonsault.
I don't ever think you can feel buried when you lose to the world champion either. Like, the world champion should be winning. So, like, you lose nothing losing to a world champion. I thought Naomi came out of this looking great. And afterwards, she was getting beaten down. And Bianca Belair came out to make the save. But the numbers got the better of them again. And Damage Control stood tall. We'll jump ahead ever so slightly, because they had a moment when the doctors were checking on Naomi because she got misted by Asuka. And Tiffany Stratton walked past them, laughing at them for being big old losers. But prior to that, we got a video package for SmackDown's newest signee, Jade Cargill. So you and I talked about this last week, of whether you do Bianca and Naomi going after the Kabuki Warriors for the tag team titles. Do you instead do the trios? Do you do
Damage Control
with Dakota Kai taking on Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill?
A part of me thinks Asuka is injured and she might not wrestle, maybe. And I assume that Tiffany Stratton's going to align herself with Damage Control for this feud. Because I think they're going to do a thing. That's why Tiffany making an appearance, unless it doesn't make sense to set something for after Mania. It's like we're in Mania mode. It's like, Tiffany, either you're going to wrestle or not. So I feel like they're putting pieces into place. Jade Cargill's going to save the day. Tiffany, I feel like maybe, the match between Dakota and Bianca next week, right?
It's Dakota and Belair next week, yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'm assuming, or I'm hoping, and that's when you're going to see the pieces for the trios or eight-person tag or whatever they're going to do. Because they could do two nights of Mania and have, Damage Control one night, and then you have EO versus Bailey on the other night. Who knows? But yeah, I'm hoping that Tiffany's gonna like a like kind of like what Dominic is doing with Legado. Tiffany's gonna do the same with Damage Control, where she's gonna, because she's been kind of having a mini feud with Naomi, where she's been trolling her, making fun of her, and she's had this issue with Bianca. So I feel like the payoff should be, or the start off, depending, start off payoff should be at WrestleMania. So I'm hoping that this appearance by Tiffany is that she's gonna interfere as well and be part of this WrestleMania schmoz.
I'm glad you came up with that, because I was trying to think of how to get Tiffany involved in this. Like, you know, we've done spoilers, like tomorrow's episode of Three Count. Tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow's episode of Three Count. Me and both Ollie and I both said, like, oh, Tiffany's thing will come after Mania. Like, they'll basically just, like, not cool her off, but just keep her off TV for now, and then we can start her push after WrestleMania, because there's no clear WrestleMania direction for her. But getting involved in this, I'm all for. Because I think I do want Tiffany on WrestleMania. That's another thing, SmackDown. You got Tiffany as well. You didn't need Tiffany and Jade and Bron and Carmelo Hayes as well when he'll be coming up after WrestleMania. You didn't need all of them. Raw's got 3 hours. Give us something over there, will you? I like Jade getting involved in this, and I think it's a good way to get Tiffany involved as well.
Yeah.
We had Aldis chatting with Cody Rhodes. And then, speaking of Nick Aldis, he was chatting with Kevin Owens and pretty deadly walked in and interrupted, talking about the conspiracy that they got taken out of the qualifying qualifiers last week. And they make a match with Kevin Owens for next week where he's going to have a partner. And he said, oh, I've already got a partner. Do you fancy it? And they pan across and there's Randy Orton standing next to Pretty Deadly. And I thought Elton Prince's selling of this was fabulous. I thought it was so, so great. And that sets up our matches. Owens and Orton taking on Pretty Deadly next week. That's a smart way of teasing the dissension between Orton and Owens ahead of WrestleMania. I'm down for this. Gets Pretty Deadly on TV as well, which I'm all in for.
Yes, boy. Elton Prince is my guy, man. He's hilarious. I also love the fact when Randy Orton goes, my daddy once had a jacket like that. That was funny. I just like, because I could envision, the ace, Bob Orton having a, frilly jacket with his cowboy hat, because it's very Western-y. And I like that. It was great little humor from Randy. And like you said as well, they've been teasing near a collision between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. A part of me, like you said, maybe next week they're going to ramp up the dissension between them, or maybe Logan Paul will set someone up to make it look like they hit them. And yeah, you hit me, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And then RKO or stunner or whatever. And then you see Logan Paul probably smiling away at the chaos that he's caused.
That's good spot. They then throw to what they said was AJ was filming some stuff at his house. Now, he had the WWE like production crew. They were filming some stuff to promote WrestleMania. And we got a bit of that footage. He didn't really have much to say because immediately there was this horn blaring. It was like me trying to record cutscene when we went to loading bar. And I was in Dalston. It was like every time a bus went past, I had to stop so we could re-record that line again. There was a horn blaring. And they go outside and the camera crew follow him. And it's LA Knight. Yeah. And the camera sort of like cuts off. And then they had dash cam footage from the police and body cam footage from the police as they're pulling apart this brawl between AJ and LA Knight, and LA Knight gets arrested while Wendy is holding AJ back and trying to get him back into the house. You and I spoke last week saying this feud felt real mid. This, all of a sudden, I thought this was a great little segment here. I really, really enjoyed this.
I find it hilarious. Because people on Twitter were begging. They said this needs a home invasion. It felt like the wrestling fan base willed it to happen, because this kind of feud where there's no titles involved, you need to ramp up the absurdity to the, like, you have to ramp up to the level where it has to be a blood feud on site. It has to be on site. They have to smash each other's face in. And I'm so happy it wasn't LA Knight attacking a TV for another week, even though it would have made me laugh had LA Knight gone into AJ's house and chair shot a TV. That would have made me laugh, because I got a weird sense of humor like that. But yes, Wendy was there. It wasn't a stunt wife like Randy Orton when he had a stunt wife when he was in his house. It was his real life OG wife, Wendy, there trying to hold AJ back. AJ is so massive that he was dwarfing Wendy. And I was like, I've never seen pictures of where AJ dwarfed his wife, but you see in that situation, big hulking AJ Styles nearly getting arrested outside his house. I love that it was so realistic. So hats off to the production for making it as realistic as possible. And I just trash talking the whole way through was just hilarious. And like you said, the feud needed it because it's going to be on WrestleMania. Two guys that could be doing more. I'm not saying them wrestling each other is less. It's just that everyone, not just you, not just me, all the people that we enjoy listening to talk about wrestling, we all assumed it was going to be LA Knight versus Logan Paul. But maybe because of the popularity or the chemistry between KO and Logan Paul, it made him pivot. But it should have been LA Knight's crowning moment, kind of like, this is a reward for getting yourself over, you know, despite all the things you've been through. It could have been a crowning moment. Kind of, for me, like a John Cena WrestleMania 20 moment of winning the United States title after getting himself over. That could have been his moment. But it is what it is. We deal with the secondary prize of facing a former world champion, you know, because LA Knight faces a lot of world champions. So I'm not going to poo-poo on it because it's still AJ Styles. Even as AJ Styles of WrestleMania is not Mr. WrestleMania, unfortunately, but you could get a surprising performance there as well. But yeah, I'm down for that. I was happy. I can't wait to see what happens more, you know, what happens next.
Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. I think it stands to reason as well that if people were saying that they should do a home invasion angle on Twitter, that WWE would do one, because no one is more permanently online than Triple H, reading everyone's feedback with all of his little burner accounts. He's totally seeing all of this and responding to it with the show.
If it's true, okay, I'm going to be that guy, but Death Rebel should have been gone by now. If it's true. If that's true, The Rock is the one I have hope for, because Rock probably has a special affinity for Jim Johnston that Triple H doesn't. Again, Triple H is the reason why Jim Johnston went, because Triple H told Redacted that the NXT wrestlers should keep their theme, essentially phasing out Jim Johnston. There you go. Because I listened to a couple of podcasts where he alluded to, he didn't want to say who it was because he didn't want to get blacklisted, but I mathed it together, because also Triple H, he changed a lot of themes in 2000s because he wasn't happy with My Time anymore, because like, he's saying edgier, and then Triple just to try it and it wasn't working and it got Motorhead. So there you go, that's the backstory of Triple H and Jim Johnston.
Do you think he doesn't like Jim Johnston because Jim Johnston made all of those live DX performances sound absolute butts? You know, like every time the DX band played Triple H or DX out, it sounded rubbish, and it's always Jim Johnson, and his out of tune, out of like balance guitar was always the one that sounded crap.
Leave him alone. He's got social anxiety. the fact that he came out for any of them, I salute, sir. I salute you, sir. And I didn't mind the instrumental version of WrestleMania 14. I was down for that. And the crowd, listen, Triple H has great crouch chops. He crouch chops like his life depends on it. But that's a conversation for another time. Back to you, Luke. Self-edit.
Well, our last thing to talk about is our second WrestleMania qualifier, which was the Street Profits taking on AOP, which is a nice way to kind of continue as well this feud that we've got between Bobby's lads and the Final Testament. And I particularly enjoyed, like, I thought AOP were rad in this match. I really enjoyed the moment when they caught Ford doing his flip dive over the top and then power bombed him into Dawkins. It was kind of great just to see AOP be AOP. And I've kind of missed seeing AOP be AOP. So that was great. Dawkins had an awesome hot tag within this as well. But much like the other qualifying qualifier that we had, despite the fact that one of the team was dominating, the other team got a surprise roll-up. It was a four that got a shock inside cradle, and they got the win in the end. So it's going to be the Street Profits versus Waller and Theory next week, as well as New Catch Republic taking on Legado del Fantasma. And though two of those four teams will be the one that qualifying for WrestleMania, if I was to hazard a guess, I would say it's probably Waller and Theory and British Strong Style.
What makes me laugh is, again, yeah, like you said it, they telegraphed what's going to happen, because the sickle part of me is kind of like, no, let Street Profits win and let Legado win. And then what do you do with New Catch Republic, and what do you do with A-Town Down Under? So I assume that next week we're going to get shenanigans on both qualifier matches, because both of these guys, Legado del Fantasma and Street Profits, they got a 6-man tag match, 8-man tag match waiting for them, so they can take the loss. So New Catch Republic will be in that ladder match to add, you know, more into it. And also you know, A-Town Down Under. I want to say popular. Grayson Waller is a popular heel where Austin Theory is there. So they're going to have an opportunity at WrestleMania. So yeah, definitely. It's telegraphed.
I think win. You put them into the ladder match because you further the splits of that act. You have them, like, you know, bump into each other. One of them hits the other one with a ladder by accident. You got to put Tyler Bate into that ladder match because he's got to spin the airplane. He's got to do the airplane spin with a ladder and take everyone out. Like, his spot's already for him. It's already there. So, yeah. So that was the show. I thought it was a decent episode of I thought the ending segment needed more. And so I kind of would have, like, downgraded the, you know, but everything I thought preening up to it. And what I kind of liked about the SmackDown, and the reason why I think I'm sort of fairly high on it, is because what I think has been bumming me out about SmackDown as of late is that the main event stuff is getting so much focus. It's nothing but the focus of the show. That this was a show that felt designed to bolster the undercard of SmackDown. It was to build those other WrestleMania matches that haven't been getting the attention that they deserve. So I was kind of into this episode because I felt like this kind of got everything across the board, ironically enough, with the exception of the main event, which I thought was pretty, as you mentioned earlier, a bit pedestrian. What did you make of it?
No, I'm with you. It's like world building for the show. It's like, it's kind of like, hey, we've got the main events, but here's where you should go watch the show as well. These are the people you want to see, and these are the feuds that are going to culminate. So yeah, I was very happy in regards to that. We got more in-ring stuff. I hope the build to the Bayley and EO feud, it's kind of cooled off, unfortunately, because straight up when Bayley won the Royal Rumble, she did a first segment. How hot that feud was, and I kind of felt like they kind of let it dissipate by design, because at one point it was like one of the hottest feuds, you cannot deny it, but they've done bits and pieces where they kind of let it fall down a bit, unfortunately. So I hope that we ramp it up again, and I hope we get a clear direction for a lot of people that we want to see on the show, i.e. you know, Tiffany Stratton, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill. Hopefully we get more clear direction for them for WrestleMania, and I hope on Raw we find out more what's happening, you know, when The Rock's 2 weeks away. I keep forgetting. CM Punk. Hey, is CM Punk going to be a guest referee for Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins? Who knows, you know? So I'm looking forward for the next few weeks of this WrestleMania season, culminating with a clear vision of what everyone's doing. And another question. Are we going to get another Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm honestly, here's my straight honest answer. I don't care.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like if they do, great. If they don't, it does not affect me either way. Like it doesn't bother me at all. Like what has anyone actually got from winning that thing?
Being on the show, that's what I ever cared about. You're right. They had a chance to make the Battle Royal mean something, and they didn't. It was basically just a standard Battle Royal they used to do in the past, but with a name attached to it. I would like to see some sort of like gauntlet match or something like that. Some sort of WrestleMania Showcase Gauntlet match where you got Chad Gable and all the wrestlers that's not part of anything doing something. I just want something meaningful for the wrestlers, because it's unfair for people like Shinsuke Nakamura and, you know, Bronson Reed and Chad Gable and even Ivar, who's been a pillar of the mid-card scene, not you know, appearing on the show. I want something for those guys. They should be rewarded. I know Triple H, he's different mindset of the other guy, where he's like, not everyone should be on the show. It's kind of like, whoever's on the show is on the show. But I want this WrestleMania 40 to be the biggest and the baddest.
I think even if they did do the Battle Royal, though, it would be on SmackDown. Like, they're just like, that's what they did last year. And Bobby won it last year?
He did. He came out, you know, at WrestleMania, and he's like, here's my trophy. I have no feud.
I've got nothing to do, but I've got a trophy here. So I've pointed at the trophy and I've done my entrance. See you next year.
Luke, that was BS. Redacted had issue with LA Knight. LA Knight was right there. LA Knight said it. Open challenge, whoever wants to fight me. Lashley, heck, do a squash if you want. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Just get years of mania. Right, you know what I'm saying?
Oh. It was right.
There. Anyway.
But anyway, yeah.
That's another podcast for another time.
That's another podcast for another time. Let's get into your remaining Ultra Chats on this episode. We have the results of our poll of what people thought of the main event segment. 47% thumbs up, 42 in the middle, 10% thumbs down. So I would say that if we'd have just done that as a binary choice, I would think there would probably be more people going thumbs up than thumbs down. But that is fairly split when it comes to the three. But I think that is definitely more pointing upwards than it is downwards. KBD said, I seem to be in the minority on this, but I really hope that Cody and Seth win night one so Cody can beat Roman in a straight one-on-one match with no interference. Love the Rest Talk crew. Keep up the great work, guys. You keep up the great work, KBD. I think you're great. I get what you mean, but I think if this is going to be the end of Roman's reign, I'm going to echo what one of the other chats said earlier. If this is going to be the end of Roman's reign, I want all the schmoz. I want all the shenanigans. I want all of it. And I want to be in a room full of people going nuts for it. That's kind of what I want from this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that Luke said he was full of smoke.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, if that's what that means. Yeah, I want all of that. I want interference from smoke and mirrors. I want all of them to come down.
Whoa.
Matt Hennessy here said, this is a show that to me set up what a full WrestleMania card looks like. We know of 10 matches that we're getting, 4 more to expect. I think that we get a tag match of Dom and Santos versus Rey and Dragon Lee. Commentary brought up how Escobar turned on Rey because of jealousy of Rey endorsing Lee as the future of Lucha Libre. So you have two proteges who turned on Rey, fight Rey and Lee in a tag match at WrestleMania as the blow-off, with Rey and Lee winning. I think the point of the LWO story was to establish Escobar as a top heel and get Dragon Lee over as Rey's successor. Plus, with tag titles possibly split up at Mania, given how stacked and strong the Raw and SmackDown tag division is, I could see Rey and Lee having a fun tag run after Mania. I fully expect British Strong Style and A-Town Down Under to qualify next week, and the final prayer costing the Street Profits setting up a 6-man tag at WrestleMania. I think we're getting Belair versus Stratton at WrestleMania, as Belair can't forgive Bayley for trauma she suffered at the hands of Bayley and Damage Control. I think Stratton cost Bianca a match with Dakota, setting up their match. I think Jade makes her debut at WrestleMania, teaming with Naomi to fight to beat Zayn and Asuka for the tag belts. So that's an interesting thing from Matt there. So he's going to split those up and doing Tiffany and Bianca in the singles match and putting Jade with Naomi instead, going for the tag titles and just doing and not doing the trios.
That's, again, that's a great alternative. I would have leaned more towards it had they did a swerve of like, Jade debuting next week. Actually, here's Jade right now saving the day, you know? Mm. But then it would have made Bianca look like a heel, hence why Bianca came out instead. Because it's understandable why she didn't save Bayley, but it's like, Naomi's your friend, kind of, apparently, based on since her return. So I don't remember them interacting much last time. Maybe they did, but yeah, currently since she's been back, they've been buddies. So it makes sense in that regard. Yeah, I like that. Either or, as long as Tiffany's on Mania, because I know Bianca's going to be WrestleMania. That's not the worrying thing. It's more like Jade and Tiffany. They're the ones I'm like, hey, you've, for me, my rule is any people you see at a Royal Rumble, they should be included at WrestleMania. Any people that come after Mania, it makes sense. It's kind of like we don't have space for Braun Strowman, so Strowman's going to debut, you know, now after WrestleMania. Makes sense. But, you know, like, at a time, they've been built, you know, Elimination Chamber, you've been building up Tiffany Stratton, she's over, Tiffy time's over, you've given her a new theme. Let's go with it, man. Go with it. And Jade as well.
Aaron Hanrahan has been a member for 30 months in a row, said, happy Saturday day, everyone. I was hoping we would get AOP in the ladder match to face off against DIY, but we got Austin Theory and GW. Oh, well, should still be fun. GW being Grayson Waller, of course. Kevin said, we didn't have a fake wife for AJ Styles with a fake scream, and AJ didn't go through a fake window. 0 out of 5 segment. Oh, Wendy. Also, I like these Bianca Bayley interactions. Do you think she'll have a Drew-like turn to make amends with Bayley? I don't know if they'll make amends with Bayley, because I think you can do like Bianca and Bayley going out of WrestleMania, but I certainly see Bianca, enemy of my enemy is my friend, taking on Damage Control. Also, as well, you know, I'm glad that people are now starting to finally make fun of that home invasion angle leading into WrestleMania with Triple H and Randy Orton. Because at the time, we all thought it was stupid. But over the years, people were like, no, that was a great angle. I was like, no, we all said at the time that was a dumb angle. And it was real stupid. And it led to a really bad match.
I always assumed it was in the middle, as in it was really fun, stupid segment. It was over the top. That's what I liked about it. It was like, you know, never regions to the wall. That's what it was. They went straight to it, pedal to the metal. The only issue was that energy, and then they had elbow and collar elbow tie-ups.
Oh, yeah, just have let's do a little tie-up when we get into the ring, because I really hate you. Let's do some wrestling. Yeah,
exactly. That was the issue. The issue was they booked themselves into a corner where there's disqualification. What? It should be a street fight, you know? Two guys are facing Mick Foley. There should be, you know, flaming tables, barbed wire. You touch my wife, I'm going to beat you up, you know? Yeah. There was none of that.
Yeah. It's also, you know, worth mentioning as well. That was just yes, another example of Triple H having the main event when he really should not have had the main event of that show.
Listen, we can do a list on parts unknown on the worst Triple H WrestleMania, because he's the worst performing WrestleMania main eventer. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that out loud, because it's what we're all thinking, but no one's got the balls to really say it on these shows. But Triple H is a bad, bad WrestleMania performer.
He is.
He had like 30 bites of that apple, and he had like two good matches.
You know what? Yeah, you could sell the indoctrination was when Warrior lifted him up and dropped him. He goes, good luck, 7 years of bad luck, or whatever it is. All his matches apathy since then. Gave Owen Hart his worst WrestleMania match. There you go. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man.
And probably Seth's worst as well.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Let's never interview Triple H, because someone might pick up clips. I shouldn't. Luke's done fine. Lucas would be laughing. He's just, if anything, he's just an audience. I will never interview wrestlers. That's why I say the stuff I say, because I'm like, I'm not going to interview them. So I'm going to say the stuff I'm going to say with respect. Triple H, you are the worst WrestleMania performer ever. Oh my gosh, there's so many receipts. Again, top 10 parts for unknown. I'm putting out there. Tempest, you know what to do.
Oh, me and Tempest could write that list in his sleep as well. Like, I mean, it's something that he and I've talked about a lot. It's like he could write that list in his sleep. Anyway, CD in here said Ray versus Dom last year at Mania was one of my favorites. I'm hoping for a rematch this year, mask versus hair. I thought that's what they were going to do last year, but when Dom started growing out that mullet, I was like, man, he's growing that thing out to get it shaved off.
I thought of that too, but I don't know. Luke, you don't know this. So there's always been this thing that Rey Mysterio said. He wanted to pass on the mask, the legacy, to Dominic. And then Dominic was going to be called Prince Mysterio with the mask. So I've been holding on to that hope for years. And it's kind of died along when the mullet grew, because I kind of see the vision now. You know what? Maybe he doesn't need the mask. But I always felt like he needed the mask, because I'm like, he needs the extra oomph to get going, but he's found the oomph and the charisma and the mullet. The mullet's the thing. Mm-hmm. If it's not the mask, it's the mullet. If he loses the mullet, then give him the mask. That's what I'm saying.
That mullet has given him powers. Vandalia in 1998. Vandalia in 1998. This live stream has given me 2020 flashbacks. Is there any of the titles you don't think should change hands at WrestleMania 40, or should they all get new owners? I think Rhea retains her belt. I don't think that Rhea's belt is changing hands.
No,
I think Seth loses, Roman loses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think Gunther loses.
I think he wins. He retains.
I don't know, man. Like, I know, like, I know. I feel like I'm driving home this Rocky thing, because that's what they said on WWE TV. And particularly now they're setting up Chad Gable to be in his corner, in Sammy's corner for the match.
To turn on him? What? No?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are turning, going for the turn, maybe. Like, I don't know. I feel like Gunther could lose.
After Mania?
Yeah, Gunther is the one I've got a question mark over at the moment. Okay. I think Logan retains. I could see Logan Paul retaining. Yeah. And the tag titles will probably change hands, and they'll probably do the split with them as well.
Oh, awesome truth. Well, more like our truth getting his flowers. I know people are like, oh no, Miz is going to win the tag titles. He's just along for the ride. This is like, thank you, our truth, for being over for as long as you have. This is your flowers, you know, collect it. Because he's never had a definitive WrestleMania moment. So this is going to be our truth. Yeah.
And as we know, because they told us on TV just the other week, he's been an active member of the WWE roster since 2000.
On and off. Yes. Yes, he has.
Yeah. What I said was true from a certain point of view. Like, on and off, he has been active with WWE since 2000.
He's never left, guys. He went catering for years and he came out again.
Quote the Raven said, I've got a question about Wrestle League. Now that the tag ladder match, it said that one team is going to get the Raw belts and another one get the SmackDown belts. If that happens, how will it be graded since you can only pick one team? And Mod Mother, who is sort of queen of Wrestle League at the moment, said, I think we'll need to figure this out before the events. And I agree. We will need. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, we'll figure that out. Maybe we'll do them as two separate things. So one for the Raw, one for SmackDown, in case they do the belt split. Although, you know, really, we don't know they're going to do the belt split. It's just a theory at the moment. Kuzu here said, I was pretty down on the last segment last night, but watching it again made me think I was too harsh. I thought it was good, to be honest. I think we're just comparing it to what Rock has been doing, but Roman and Cody were essentially playing mind games of who could trust who. So yeah, there you go. That's all of our old chats. I'm going to end the poll now to see what people thought of this episode of the show. And that's a lower thumbs up than we've had as of late. 57% thumbs up, mid 35. That's way lower than we have had as of, you know, the past few weeks and months on SmackDown and on Raw. Man, that's low. That's lower than I thought it was going to be as well, actually, because I quite enjoyed this episode.
Do you think... people have been conditioned to enjoy the promos more than wrestling, and then when they got wrestling, it was kind of a jarring thing for them.
Yeah, maybe it could be. I don't know, man. But yeah, that's it for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday, myself and Dan Layton reviewing Monday Night Raw with the return of CM Punk. And then on Thursday, it will be the Dynamite review with myself and Oliver Davis. And then Saturday, hey, back here again. We're back in our homes, yeah. Giving them 2020 vibes, giving back those Thunderdome era vibes. So we'll see you for another great week of wrestling content as we head into WrestleMania Go Home Week. It's the penultimate week before the Go Home Week. Take care, everyone. I've been Lee Cohen, DAD. That has been Sat E Niangi. Have a great Sat E day. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.